Hello, this is Michael Fanning, and I'm the host of the Windermere Coaching Minute. This is our quick form podcast where we'll talk to Windermere agents who bring creative ideas, power strategies, and successful routines to light. In each episode, we'll talk to real estate professionals to learn what they have done that have allowed them to be better than they were yesterday. Please enjoy our podcast. Hello, everyone. This is Michael Fanning, and welcome to the Windermere Coaching Minute. This is our podcast where we talk to real estate agents that are doing some pretty great things as it pertains to their business, to their life, and helping their clients with a more, what I call professional experience, if you will. And today, I'm really excited to have Christopher Rigby with us. Christopher, how are you?
Doing good. Excited to be here.
Well, hey, Christopher, first of all, I want to say thank you. You've been coaching with us for some time now with Windermere Coaching, and I know that you've been in real estate for 12 years, and you've, correct me if I'm wrong, you started off on a team, right?
I did, yeah. I started off on a team in a smaller brokerage in Seattle, and then after 4 years in the business, I decided to move up north to Mukilteo, where we currently live. And I got paired up with another team, a Windermere team, and I worked with them for about 5 years and then went out on my own.
And you predominantly work in the Mukilteo area, and you do a lot of business, I know, in Harbor Point as well, correct?
Correct. Yep, that's my primary focus area.
Primary focus area. And you've got three kids, you got a wife, and I also know that you love to travel, specifically going to national parks.
Yep, we got a travel trailer last year, and that's what we do.
That's what we do. And you had a really amazing year last year, and you're on track this year to be even more production than you did last year. But one of the things, the reason why I wanted to have you on today is so many times what happens is when we talk to people that we coach or just talk to agents in general or just look at our industry as a whole, you know, a lot of people right now are saying, oh, it's kind of tough, it's kind of difficult. And I know one of the things that you do so phenomenally well, and every time we have a coaching call, you know, I kind of kid, but you'll say, oh my gosh, I had another two open houses this weekend. I got two more buyers and one more seller. And it seems like clockwork. And so you and I started talking, and what I'd love to do is do a little bit of a deeper dive on just the level of professionalism you bring to the table as it pertains to your open houses and how you interact with your clients. So I'd love for you just to kind of walk us through that. But before we do that, give me some stats. Just what's your success rate on your open houses in terms of procuring new clients or new business?
When I'm doing open houses, this year has been challenging because there just haven't been a lot. But when I'm actually physically doing open houses, I at a minimum get at least one piece of business, new piece of business from an open house.
That's a minimum. Amazing. Yeah, at a minimum, right? Because I can remember you saying, "Hey, I've got a buyer. They're also going to sell, and then they're going to refer me to somebody too." You know, and after an open house. So, let's do this first. I mean, you also see other people doing open houses. Where do you kind of differentiate yourself? I mean, when you said, hey, I'm going to really take this to a different level, where did you see that wasn't happening where you said, hey, I can make this better?
From like an area of like expertise, I guess it was, you know, obviously like when I worked with the team that I was initially on in Mukilteo, and they had a 30% market share. I sat my first open house with them. I was like, it was like spring market, which is like, you know, I've got three listings coming on in Mukilteo. The listings themselves are exciting, but I'm like the experience, it's like, I don't know, hopefully it's not snowing this spring, but
yeah,
you never know. But anyway, it's like, the weather's changed, and like that first set of open houses, it's like it's your first connection with the community. And, like it was just mind blowing. Like people were coming in like, hey, you know, like so good to see you. And I'm like, what? These people are, I'm like, you're real estate agents. Like what in the world? And they were like the mayors of Mukilteo. Like,
right.
And people were like excited to see them. And it was like, hey, can you come over to our house? We're going to sell our house in a week. Can you come over to our house and come meet with us? And I'm like, that is unreal. And, they're, you know, I was like, well, how do I, you know, now that I'm no longer working with them and they've actually left the market area, I'm like, well, how do I like compound on that? And, you know, it's like, I don't want to buy leads from Zillow or internet and all that different, different things to supplement outside of just like the core sphere that I work with my ninja strategy. So the open houses, I really got to get, I'm like, well, what are these materials? I'm like, okay, well, it's usually you go to an open house, you get a brand new agent that doesn't know anything about the business, doesn't know anything about the area, doesn't know the square footage, doesn't know the age of the home, doesn't know what schools the house goes to. So it's like, okay, well, you don't want to be one of those. And so like, I just dialed it into, well, I know a lot about Mukilteo cause I live here, but I would say for other people, it's like, you know, pick an area that you want and research it, like, and like really research it. Like, you know, like what's the market share? Who are the agents that have the top market share in that area? And I don't want to say cozy up to them, but talk to, like, there's not just one set of agents that have business in the area. So like, I have good relationships with John L. Scott agents. I have Coldwell Banker agents, EXP agents in the Mukilteo area. And I talk to them almost on a weekly basis, just as part of my regular phone calls. And like, hey, I've got X buyers that I'm working with. Like, do you have anything coming on the market that fits what they're looking for? And, you know, most of us are, I mean, there's some of us that don't share what's going on, but others are like, yeah, I've got something coming on in the next few weeks that fits that general criteria. And so like, that's, knowledge is just power. And so when you do have your open house, people are like, hey, you know, when I'm talking to them and asking them about what they're looking for, do they like this house? If they don't like this house, have they made offers on other houses in the area, or what they're really looking for? And they're like, yeah, this is what I want. And you're like, I know of something coming up in a couple of weeks that fits that criteria. And they're like, well, can you take my information down?
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to unpack that a little bit, because you said something that kind of struck me, and I see this to be the case. And one of the things that I've done in the past is on weekends, if I have extra time, is I'll just pop into open houses just because I want to see the experience, right? I want to say, okay, if I was a buyer or a seller today and I dropped into this open house, you know, what's my experience? And I will say the same thing that you said, it kind of resonates, is that, you know, a lot of times agents will just do an open house, but they've done no research and they have very little knowledge of anything that pertains to the area, the amenities, the house itself. They're just there basically saying, hey, how are you? And they're trying to explain to you, hey, this is the house. Here's a flyer on it. If you have any questions, let me know. And that's where I walk in, I look around and I go, thank you very much. And I leave, and there's no interaction, and I pick up no value or knowledge from that person. And so what I'm hearing you saying is a couple things, and this is for the listeners that are listening out there. If you're hearing what Christopher's saying, is focus on the area you want to be in and then become the most knowledgeable person of that area.
Exactly. I think the, you know, in all likelihood, if you're just doing open houses, like random places, I mean, even, you know, like I think Excellers expect us to do open houses at listings that we have. And like, if you don't know anything about that area, you know, you're just servicing your listing essentially.
Right.
You know, the chances of getting a piece of business from that are like 1 in 100, right? Or even to sell that listing, it's probably even higher than 1 in 1,000 from the open house. But if you're consistently doing open houses in an area, people see, you know, like, they're seeing your signs consistently on that, on those streets. It's just, you're building that, that mental recognition of your name. And, it also helps label you as a market area expert. And that kind of falls into that research part of it. And like, you know, can you get into an area where you can do that? And then if you don't have listings in that area, and you can talk to those agents that do have listings when they come up in that area, and you're like, hey, yeah, I know this listing, you can talk to them about the other listings and that, you know, like what their performance was like and how many offers they got, they're going to feel a lot more comfortable having you hold an open house at their listing versus just being some random person. You know, you get those 20 emails a week for, hey, can I hold an open house at your listing? And, most of the time it's like, you haven't done anything to stand out to me to even let me want to let you do an open house at my listing if I can't do it myself.
Exactly. And I think that's a great point too, is that, you know, you're building rapport with other agents before you're even asking, in the event that you don't have a listing where you want to hold an open house, you're building rapport with them before that even happens.
Right. And there were periods last year where I didn't have any listings, but I wanted to make sure that my name was up on the boulevard, like every weekend, through the year. And I was, I mean, I would just call. I know other agents were having, they're like, I can't get any open houses. Like, and I would just call. I mean, I would call these agents and I'd just say, hey, do you mind if I help out and do an open house with you? They're like, absolutely. You come, you know, what time do you want? And so right. the agents that normally would not give those up to other people were just like, whatever you want.
That's
so true. You build a reputation with the agents in the community, and then you build it, you know, for you with the homeowners and the buyers in the community as well, because they're usually circling for, you know, those buyers are circling for 6 months to a year before they, you know, they get into the community or the house that they want.
Right. Let me ask you this: how important do you think is the consistency of, you know, weekly where you're doing your open houses, where your signs are out there? Because I know that the other thing that I started noticing as we were having our coaching calls, you would start saying, "I've got people walking in saying they already know me."
I think it's really important. I mean, the frequency is, if you can do it every weekend, great. If you can do it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, even better. I know that puts a limitation on things. I mean, there was times last year where I had, you know, two listings at the same time, or there was one time where I had three listings at the same time, and I had to do, I did six open houses between Saturday and Sunday. It was like 2 hours. I had to start early and then like just alternate the times between the three listings. But my signs are on the boulevard all day long.
Right.
And that, I think that comes into the next kind of area where that I wanted to talk about was like prepping,
yes.
Like the preparation for the open house. And this is something that you could relay to the agent that you're asking to do the open house with, just to, you know, help them show you like how much of an expert you're going to be on it. But you want to research the streets around where their listing are, from like, you know, the main roads down to the arterials, down to the entrance to the neighborhood. And you want to count the number of like signs that you're going to need. And not only that, you know, like, are you able to cover multiple, like if in Harbor Point, like I'll put up like 30 open house signs.
Yep.
And the goal with that is that, you know, there's three entrances. It's like this giant horseshoe, and there's three entrances. And so like I can cover open houses from like the speedway all the way down into the residential neighborhoods, and then make sure obviously the signs, like, you know, somebody could do it without GPS and find the open house. Because sellers really like that. They're like, I didn't even know this house was listed, or they're like, I'm not even looking. I just wanted to come. I followed the signs all the way here. But, right. And then you want to like time that out. You really want to time like how long it takes to like get out of your car, go walk to like your, you know, pretending to set up the signs. So it's like, I know it takes me 57 minutes to set up my signs, and for Harbor Point, and it takes me 57 minutes to take them down. So that's, you know, my open house, like, it's not just like a 2 or 3 hour thing. It's like, I'm an hour vested into setup and takedown, and then the actual physical open house itself. And then if it runs longer, which they sometimes do, cause people will just be in there talking to you.
Right. Exactly.
That's where that goes. And, but just to have that, and you know, cause you don't want to be late. There's nothing worse than like, you know, I mean, someone's going to freak out if you're holding a listing open for them and you're 20 minutes late and they're like, I've got people calling me, why are you not at the open house? So, I mean, I usually have people, cause I'm setting up so many signs, I have people waiting for me at the open house when I get there, cause I'm setting up so many signs. But, you know, I'm like, yeah, it starts at, you know, 1 o'clock. Let me finish getting some stuff out of the car and get you in there. But it, you know, cause I usually set it up, so I'm always there about 10 to 15 minutes early.
Right.
Before I even start setting up my signs, I will go to the house and make sure all the lights are turned on, just in the preemptive that I know people are probably going to be there waiting for me by the time I get the sign set up. So I don't want to have to run through the house and turn all the lights on for them.
Right. While you're, and make it look rushed.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. And so, and then I also have to believe that you do some research prep before.
Yeah. I mean, I always do. I always have knowledge of like what the other houses that have sold, like, you know, say it's a golf course house. It's like, hey, these are the last four golf course houses that sold, or these are the last four water view houses that sold. These, you know, one of them has a similar view with you. You want to have that knowledge to be able to like speak to that. Cause most of these people, that are searching in specific areas, like they've been watching for 6 to 12 months. So they may have a better, a lot of times, like I'm impressed with like how, like what the knowledge of these consumers are. They're like, they got Redfin and all that stuff that they're getting these listings sent to them, and they're watching that stuff. Or if they're a homeowner in the area, like they know that, like they know like all the listings that have come on with the views and stuff like that, because it affects their value. And if you're able to carry on a conversation with them about that, I'm like, yeah, I went into that one and like, you know, it looked like it had a good backyard, but it was like, you know, it was actually, you know, there was power lines that were hidden behind the trees that you couldn't see in the photos. Like, did you know that? And so if you're able to like articulate those things, you can really gain the confidence and, you know, 'cause that's the number one thing that happens for me, at least in these open houses, is I'm getting interviewed without even knowing I'm being interviewed.
Well, and this brings up a good point, because I remember on one of our calls, you have expressed to me a couple times where there's been people that have come to open houses that have been working with another agent. And then they say, hey, we've gotten more information from you in 20 minutes than we've gotten from working with 2 or 3 weeks with our agent. And you've actually picked up clients that had other representation, but they decided that you were the person they wanted to work with.
Yeah, I've had that happen numerous times. It'll be interesting to see how that works out this year with the, you know, the new buyer brokerage services right. agreements that we're supposed to be under, but most we're supposed to be under, but most, most other brokerages aren't doing it. So I think that'll be another interesting talking point for us this year. But I find that, that people, you know, they'll try to get as much information from you and you're like, yeah, I give it to everybody. I mean, go, you know, give her that go giver mentality. It's like, it works out. Like I had a couple that came through last year and I kind of gave them some market insight the previous year about the neighborhood and like what the seasonality of the neighborhood was going to be like. And like, you know, just, you know, they were working with someone else and I was like, just relax. I was like, you know, like wait till August. Like it, even if we're in multiple offers all the other time of the year, wait till August. I was like, I bet you'll be able to find something. Anyway, they came through an open house last year and they were like, you were so right. Like that was like the best advice. We were about to just completely give up. Like, she's like, if we hadn't been in agreement with our agent, like we would have definitely used you, but like we're going to refer you to everybody that we talk to.
Right. So they're still going to work with that agent, but you're going to be the person they're going to refer.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I'm hearing, and so for our listeners that are here, one other thing is the level of your confidence. Meaning that you've done your research, you've done your you know the information so well that the way you show up is this level of confidence, and you said it is that's what people are looking for. They're looking for somebody who can give them quality information, provide value, and there's a level of professionalism and confidence. And I think that too many times, you know, we go into these open houses wanting to work them, and we're there, and we're not feeling confident because we haven't done any research. We're just kind of sitting there hoping and praying that, you know, maybe we'll get a client out of this. And the reality of it is you put a lot of time and effort into just prepping and getting your information ready so you can be there. And so in that prep thing, and I know, and I'm just going to ask questions, you can kind of take us down the direction you want to go. But the other thing I hear a lot of agents, when I talk about the packets you provide at your open houses, I'll hear agents say to me, well, how much does that cost? Talk to me a little bit about what you have at the open house that you prepare and get ready that you actually give to clients or give to potential clients when they walk in.
Yeah, good topic. So that's very, they're not cheap. I would say like the goal is every packet that I hand out is I try to keep it under $20, but I might be adding some new stuff this year. So, trying to up my game, so to speak, but, just to try to stay as informative as I can for anyone coming through, whether they're working with me or not. And, you know, obviously the presentation of the folder itself is the folders. I think I had those ordered from moo.com last year, I think, and I ordered like 2,000 of them, but it was like, there ended up being, I think they're like $4 a folder is what they come out.
Right.
To be. And I've got in there, I always put the seller form 17. If obviously a lot of listings do pre-inspections, I'm not going to put a 30 page
right.
inspection report in there. That's just too much. I usually have that sitting on the counter. That's usually a talking point where that's another way to gain contact information from someone is like, if you'd like me to send this to you, I'll email it to you. It's just too much to print out. Won't even fit in the folders, but I usually always have listing flyers, that are in there. And I never do like the cheap, like one page listing flyers. I mean, the average median in Snohomish County now is like $800,000. And I just think for, you know, potentially a $24,000 commission, we can do better than, like, you know, flyers that we print off on our copy machine at our office.
Exactly. Exactly.
I want everybody, you know, it's just like the impact that you have with that. And it's fine for the buyers, but I think, I mean, like the goal is that you want, you want your sellers to feel confident in the materials that are being presented up for their home. You want other people that are seeing your materials to be like, wow, this is way better than the other crap that's out there. That you can just, people look at that and they just feel like, wow, this is like a huge packet. But anyway, so I have the listing flyers, and it's usually a double-sided from a print shop. Form 17 seller disclosure statement always goes in there. If there's like an upgrades list for the property, I'll make sure that that's included in there as well. And then like, I usually have like a half page sheet with like a QR code for the property, that takes you to the property website. I always do, you know, I always try to have a property website for it. I like to have any like upcoming list, events that are happening within Mukilteo. Like there's a park that's being built up the street here, or, you know, people are like, oh, I didn't know that. And, you know, it's right. Like, hey, you know, like Mukilteo actually by like 2035 has to have like an additional 2,400 doors. And like, that's a huge, it's almost like talking politics a little bit,
but right.
You gotta be careful right. about that. 'Cause everybody in Mukilteo doesn't want any more people here, which is kind of a small town thing. But, you get into that. I mean, it gives you that knowledge of things like that. But and then for the RPR, like those are great, because if you get people that are coming from out of town to the Mukilteo area, it's like it gives them like all the stats. Like I just do a neighborhood report. It's like 5-6 pages.
Yep.
And then I have the other thing that I always include in there is I've got I have seller books, I have buyer books, and then like I had a I have one that I had made, and I think it came through Custom Express. So like for Windermere agents that are listening, that's something you can have built in Custom Express and shipped out. And it's just, I think it's 8x8 is the size of it. And it's just like, it's a buy sell combo with just like buyer services, seller services by Windermere. And then I usually include, so it's got an about me family portion. And then it has some client testimonials that are in there as well. So it's just a really quick bullet point about me. But that's what I give. And like, I usually try not to print those until like the day of listing. 'Cause like, you know, with the low inventory markets we've got right now, you don't want to print all that stuff out. And then the listing sells and you're like, wow, that was a waste of money.
Right. So, you're being strategical about it in terms of how you're spending your money and when you're going to do that.
Yeah. It was interesting. My wife last year, she said, oh, wow, those folders. Like, she's like, you're giving those out just to people coming through an open house, just the folder. She was like, that's crazy. I'm like, well, think about it. It's like, if I get one piece of business, it pays for all the folders.
Exactly.
Like it pays for all 2000 of them. And yeah. So, and that's mentally how I'm thinking about it. And now it's like, it's my wife. It's just really interesting to tell her. I'm like, I just had somebody else reach out to me that wants me to come list their house. And she's like, are you serious? She's like, I don't believe you. And like, she's like, because every time I come down after being in my office or whatever, she's like, I don't believe you. I'm like, no, literally, like, here's a text message. Like, this is like just a come list me text message.
Yes.
And so it's by, you know, creating that high value, you're making yourself highly attractable to other people. And then as it, and that's why it's really important to do, like, obviously, like I farm this area too. So like people are getting my monthly postcards. They're getting like monthly market updates. They're getting like just listed, just sold postcards too. It's a compounding effect, but like it started with just open houses that didn't really cost a lot of money. I mean,
right. Well, a couple of things I want to point out, and as I'm listening to this, and for, I want people to hear this specifically, is number one is you're putting yourself to a position of being in demand, not on demand, right? So people are seeking you out. That's number one. Number two is the consistency of where you're focusing your energy and your effort. Because one of the challenges I see a lot of people do is they're scattered all over the place. Right. They're doing something here, then they're doing something there, then they're trying to get business over here, and they're trying to be everywhere. When the reality of it is that if you put your energy and focus into an area that you want to dominate in, like you're doing, and you look, I'm going to be consistent with my open houses, I'm going to bring a high level of value, I'm going to show up professionally, and I'm going to farm this area. You know, the consistency of that interaction, you're buying the mind of those clients. Right. By placing content, value added content, and being there on a regular basis, to where pretty soon you're owning that box in their head that says real estate, where they go, oh, we already know you. Because I've heard that you say that too. People walk in before they even you've never met them, like, oh no, we know you. We see your signs all the time. We get your stuff. It gets mailed to us. We knew that if we were going to hire somebody, you'd be the one.
Exactly. And it's also too, when you go into these, you get these phone calls, or you interact with these people. The one I went on this week, they had me over, and the guy was like, I'm not paying this commission. And I went through my presentation. I showed him like all the stuff. I showed him what the packets look like that I give out to people. I ran through all of those things and showed it to them. And the husband's like, I'm not going to pay that. And the wife's like, it's worth it. Just sign here.
Well, can you, and you know, we talked about this on a coaching call, and I know we're digressing just a little bit, but can you just explain to me, for our listeners, the conversation you had as you related it to rent and the time you'd be working for them?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you figure from the time you get into a, because I think people mentally look at like a, you know, $30,000, $45,000 commission as a, you know, a high level. And I ask them, as you know, I start off and I say, well, you know, what's your monthly mortgage? And they're like, oh, it's like, you know, $1,100. I'm like, wow. I'm like, that's amazing. I was like, do you know what it would cost for you to go rent this house right now? And they're like, oh, maybe like $2,000. I'm like, no, it's like $5,000 a month rental. I was like, do you know what the mortgage on this house would be at the price that you want to get? And they're like, they guess, they're like somewhere like, you know, 6,000 or something like that. I'm like, no, it's actually probably closer to like $10,000 or $11,000 a month.
Right.
And so I was like, my time in order to get you that price is really, it falls down to like, it's going to take probably 2 to 3 months, you know, from now until closing. The way it breaks down is it's about $10,000 a month. So I'm getting paid. That's what I'm making a month, like what a monthly mortgage payment is for this house in order to get it sold for you. I was like, but that doesn't include all my investment in terms of like marketing materials. So it's really like, you're getting like 2 months for the price of, you know, for the price of three.
Right. Exactly. And how did the husband take that after you had that conversation?
He still didn't want to pay me full price, and the wife just it was interesting because the wife just said sign it, and then he signed it. So it was like,
right.
it was really interesting to see that. But I don't know that I've ever been that confident in a listing appointment as I was this week. But it was more of when I went in to meet with them, they'd already researched me a ton. Obviously they got that listing came from an ARR that I'd sent out. So I'm starting to send out my annual real estate reviews to just like my farm, which is right. which is a big one. But I started doing that, and that is where that particular piece of business generated from.
Right. So this is so interesting. So one of the couple of things with open houses too, is that talk to me just about your appearance and how you show up, because I think this is a big deal too. And I think a lot of people underestimate, you know, there was a study done, I think it was Iowa State University, where they talked about, you know, your dress can affect your income by 20 to 100%. Just talk to me a little bit about that.
So my background is, obviously I had, you know, 15 years at Nordstrom prior to getting into this industry. And I was on the shoe floor there in management and whatnot. And it was like, it was like the shoe people always wore suits, like regardless, which is crazy because of like all the up and down that you're doing. But you have like a professional aura about you. And, you know, I think COVID set in like kind of like the deprofessionalization of the industry in general.
Right.
With how we appear. And, you know, especially now that our commissions are even more so in the limelight and negotiable, they've always been negotiable, but it's at the forefront of everybody's mind now. And so we always hear everybody, agents like, I'm, you know, we're like doctors and lawyers, and like, you know, that's how we justify. I'm like, yeah, but if you're showing up in leggings and a Patagonia jacket to a listing appointment, or, you know, I'm always in a suit, regardless, like I'm always in a suit. And so like, I mean, if I'm going to the office, I'm always in a suit. Very rarely like I'm in a suit sometimes at home, even if I'm taking Zoom meetings and stuff like that, I'm in a suit.
Right.
So much so that like, I showed up to the office one day on my day off, I had to grab something from my office, and someone saw me and they're like, do you need help here? And they didn't recognize me because I wasn't in a suit.
Right.
That to the clients, like, you know, that's that, what is it? The 8 second rule that, yes, you know, somebody's already decided before you've even opened your mouth in 8 seconds, whether or not they want to work with you.
Exactly.
And so if you can give yourself that advantage, like to the point where you're just, you don't have to even, you know, they know what to expect from you on a consistent and regular basis. They also, it's a much more, they're going to be comfortable referring you to their friends because every time you show up, you're like dialed to the nines and to, you know, if you're, and I don't think you have to be like, you know, crazy expensive stuff, but, just as long as you're, I mean, for guys, it doesn't have to be a suit and a tie, but I'm always a suit and a tie because that's just my style. But I think, and it could be like if you were in Arizona, like it could be, you know, I don't know, that it's probably like Tommy Bahama shirts and like khaki pants or whatever. It's a different, you know,
Just dress professionally, right? I always say this, you know, we teach this in Ninja, and I know you've heard this before, is, you know, dress like the people that you go to for advice, right? So I think about, you know, I want to dress like the person that my clients are going to for advice, not the person I'm going out to have beers with.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge deal. You know, when you walk in, there's a perception, and these are people too that maybe haven't met you. They maybe seen your face or they've got your marketing materials, and then they walk in and there you are in a suit. You're highly knowledgeable. You've got great marketing materials available to them. You're providing them value and information. You are solving a problem in their mind that they had, or answering a question. And now you are increasing your equity substantially, probably better than any other experience they've had as it pertains to real estate.
Yeah, I think that's what the evolution of what I've done or have been going through has led to. And I think, because I talked to other agents that do online marketing and stuff like that, and this is a long game. Like this isn't like a short-term success thing. This is a long game. Like so much so that it's almost been like to the what we've been working on, just focusing really much like over the last like 2.5 years,
right?
And but just in general, like doing open houses, like for me and Mukilteo has been like 8 years.
Right.
You know, to really have built it up to this. So now it's like the fruit of all that labor has like started to, just sort of manifest itself, through all this, all these things and all these open houses. I mean, I remember doing open houses when I was on that team, and I'm like, this is a giant waste of time. Like I didn't get anything from it, and these guys got like a $40,000 commission. It's like, you get in your head like that. You don't,
yes.
I mean, you don't, I don't, you know, now I'm like, man, I can't thank them enough for what they gave me, just letting me do their open houses.
Right.
Because now people come in and they're like, wow, you took their place. Like you're the, you know, like we're coming to you when we're selling. And so it's, even if you don't feel like you're doing, you're not getting like a piece of business from the listing, like people are, there's like still eyeballs on you. And you know, it's like how you carry yourself or how you interact in that open house. Like, don't have that commission breath breathing down on them. Like, I don't ever, I acknowledge people as soon as they walk through the door, and I stay in the kitchen. Because you know what? The number one place everybody's going to go through and check out the house is the kitchen eventually at some point in time. And they're not going to come into the kitchen immediately unless they want to talk to you. But they're going to go out to the bedrooms and then come around the house. But they will, a lot of times, they'll end up in the kitchen, and that's where you can have your conversations with them.
Exactly. And a couple of things, you know, when you say this is a long game and it's a small little things, you know, you mentioned to me recently on one of our calls how you always have a Windermere doormat. You have a special keychain that you put on the key that goes in the lockbox. Talk to me about some of those small little things. You call them your signature open house.
Yeah. And that's listings or open houses. You can get those, and you can get the Windermere doormats off the work site as well. But I guess it comes down to branding.
Yep.
And like, what is your brand? What does that look like? What is, you know, and I think it starts obviously with like the foundation of like how you're going to build your brand and like what you're doing and where you're at. And if it, you don't have like a strong foundation, then you need to probably like evaluate that, change that, fix that, build it up so that, you know, when you do start to get busy or have business like this, you're, you're able to do it within the confines of a 40-hour work week. Like all my business and like all this stuff that I'm doing is all confinable to within a 40-hour work week. So that, you know, that's, I don't, I'm fine to grow as far as I can grow. And as long as I can keep it within that 40-hour work week, but that branding is like what I expect when I walk into Nordstrom. Like when I walk into a Nordstrom's in Washington, or when I walk into a Nordstrom's in Boston, or I walk into a Nordstrom's in Chicago, you walk through and you just immediately, like, you know what you're going to expect. You know, the tile, look, you know, like the tile on the floor is like always the same color. The music that's playing is usually all, it's always very similar. The way people are dressed is always very similar. It's very, you want that reputation as far as like when people walk into a listing, they're like, I know what that's going to look like.
Yep.
Versus it's like, and you can't control like whether people are going to upgrade their house or do their things. So then like in those situations, like having a doormat or having this, like the keychains and different, and just like the presentation that you're going to put in at the home with the folders and everything like that, they know that that's what's going to, like, that's just consistently happening. And that is what sellers, as they, you know, come to multiple of your open houses, are like, wow, this is what we want when we sell our house.
Whether you're being interviewed and they're seeing the consistency and they're seeing the quality, you know, and that goes back to like what I recognized when I would go on a Sunday and just in, even in my neighborhood, just walk through open houses, is the lack of consistency or just the lack of professionalism. And, you know, it's like anything else. You know, we go to Nordstrom's because we have that feel of a higher level of professionalism. We buy Apple products because of, you know, every Apple store looks the same. Their packaging is phenomenal. I mean, I can't tell you how many people buy Apple products and never throw the packaging away. You know, because it feels good. It's quality. And going back to your packets and the money that you spend. And this is the other thing that I wanted to mention is that, you know, when you said, hey, you know what, I know that if I get one piece of business from this open house, it's going to pay for all of my packets that I spent for the year on open houses. You know, that's a mindset of abundance versus a mindset of scarcity. And I think many times when we live in that scarcity world, we're just going to keep getting scarcity. But as soon as we step up and say, you know, I'm going to invest in what I know is going to work, and I'm looking for the long game for the return, it's amazing on how frequently that starts to happen for you.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think you have that, you know, I just recently started doing like the ARRs to my whole farm, and I mapped out, like, you know, with, I talked to my broker about it, and I mapped out like what that was going to look like what I was expecting from the cost. And she had said, you know, Lena said, hey, if you know, like you just imagine if you get a piece of business in the first 3 months, it's going to hit, and then it's going to pay for the rest of the year, you know, or how that's going to, and I mean, like I hit the first week. So
yeah, like, exactly.
And I'm like, well, that paid for 2 years. So that, you know what I mean? So it's like, okay, well now we really got to ramp this up. And that's what I did last year with all those materials, is like, I know a lot of people, it was a retracting year for a lot of people, but like, yes. I doubled down mm-hmm. on the cost of materials and like the time invested, with what I was doing, and it worked. And so like, I'm doing that again this year, like just with the system at like new marketing and new systems that I'm going to put into play, to not only like make me more efficient with my time, but also to bring in more business, and the business that I want to work with too, not just, and now I'm in a more of a position now to be like, I don't think this is a great interaction, or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think this is going to be a good fit.
Yep. Well, you're able to pick and choose because you're in demand. So you're able to really say, here's what I'm willing to take, here's what I'm not willing to take. And I want our listeners to also know, you know, a couple things as we sit here and talk. You know, you're gonna do phenomenally well in Q1. You know, in terms of your dollar volume and what you're doing. I mean, you're at the top of your game, and it's phenomenal, the production that you have. Number two is the time that you spend working. I mean, you're one of the people that I coach that I'm always amazed at how much time you have to spend with your kids and how dedicated you are to making sure that you're staying within that piece of that time in the course of the week. And I have a lot of agents say, well, you know, if I'm going to do all that, I'm going to be so busy, I'm not going to have a life. It's not the case, because you're very focused and laser focused on where you want to do business and how you want to do it, that you're in control of that world. And I think that there's a lot to learn from that in terms of just your commitment to consistency and your commitment to professionalism.
Yeah, I mean, what did we start? I think it was 2 years ago. We really focused on like what my time blocking and my schedule was going to be.
Yeah.
And that is where, you know, it's like, hi, I've got this like crazy goal. I want to make $1 million, and like break it down and look what that looks like. And then, we have dialed it in, like my morning routine. Like we focused a lot last year on my morning routine. So not necessarily as much as, I mean, the business is part of the morning routine, but like more of like working, you know, if I can improve yourself, you can improve your paycheck.
Exactly.
And we've really focused on like improving, like just like through cold plunge, which is, you know, not for everybody, working out, having that consistent morning routine, reading consistently, like consuming knowledge, you know, from other people and into my daily routine. And now I have a nighttime routine, and that is what allows those other things. So it's like, I start early in the morning. I'm in the office by 7:00. I'm done by 2:00. And then if I have any appointments in the rest of the day, like a listing appointment or a showing appointment, then I can go on those. But if I don't, then I'm done at 2:00, and then I'm just available to be at home from 2:00 on.
Yeah, exactly. And you're doing your open houses, but it comes back to your systems. And I think that, you know, for today, when we're thinking about open houses, is you have a process dialed in. You don't kind of wing it or go, oh, I have an open house, I wonder if I'm gonna do it this way or that way. This is how you do the open house. And one other thing I want to point out, and I've got this on my notes because it was interesting when we were talking, because, you know, I always promote in our open house classes, hey, everybody, get people to sign in. And I loved it because you go, I don't have anybody sign in. And I said, yeah, but how do you remember their names? And you have all these people in your database and you get them. So speak to me just a little bit about that, because, you know, it's great if you get people to sign in, but because of what you're doing and how you're doing it, people are giving you their information without you even asking.
Yeah, and that a lot of that comes from the knowledge aspect of it, and then the questions you're asking them are important too. I think, you know, it's like, you know, are you looking in this area specifically? Have you made offers on any houses in this area? And, you know, they'll tell you if they have, and, you know, like, how did that go? And then you say, well, what did you like about the house that, you know, they're like, well, I like the backyard, but I would have preferred, you know, maybe it was like facing a different, you know, orientation or different direction or something like that. And, you know, that's where you can insert. And this is from talking to other agents, not just like stuff that you know of, but you're like, hey, I know of another house coming on. Like, that is the number one thing that, like, I talk to people. I'm like, I had a seller in here. I had a seller that I talked to last weekend at my open house, and they, you know, they mentioned where their house is located, and that they're going to have me over in a couple weeks for a listing appointment. And it sounds like that fits what you're looking for. And they're like, oh, can I give you my information? They asked me to take their information. I'm right. Like, write it down on my iPad. And so that's where I keep most of my, like, I use Good Notes, or you could use the, you know, Apple Notes too, but I use Good Notes just because I can, it streams from everything. I mean, it's, so does Apple Notes as well, but I like Good Notes the way it just works better. I think it's like, $20 a year or something like that. But anyway, that's where I keep everybody's information. And I've got a folder for each open house that I put up. And then that way I can like skim back through and go through like what, and that's the other thing that I do too, is I keep a very detailed, like I have like a little, you know, I just make the little hash marks. So like how many people have come through the open house. I write down like all the feedback, and I talk when I'm talking to them about this house that I can relay with the seller. And then at the end of the open house, before I actually leave the house, I fire off like the feedback to the sellers, on the number of people that came through, the number of, like what the feedback and what that stuff looks like. Cause that's important for a seller. Like they're like chomping at the bit a lot. And I found that if I don't give that to them before I leave the house, they're trying to get that from me when I'm out spending an hour picking up the signs. So, it's easier to just have that done and, you know, stay an extra 15 minutes or whatever at the open house before you leave, just to make sure you communicate that with them. And that's just another repertoire thing to make your, you know, the sellers love that stuff. So, I mean, I think that's, and that they just want to know what's going on with their house. And so if it were like, hey, it was a really quiet open house, and you spearhead that and get in front of them with it, it just, they understand that. It sets the, like, hey, you know, maybe there was a football game, or maybe there was something else, because it was super busy the day before. But it builds confidence in what you're doing with the sellers.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, great, a lot of great information. Any last little nuggets or anything that comes to mind you'd like to share?
I mean, like I always try to, it was interesting. Lena in our office meeting talked about like kind of like manifesting things. And I know that's a big part of what we do in Ninja. But I do, I really like, you know, like going into the weekend of a, like of a, and I'm like prepping all this material and I'm doing all these things. Like I always tell myself, I'm like, I was like, I'm going to get at least one seller from this,
right,
from this weekend. Like I'm going to get one of those. And like, that's just the mentality that I have going into it. Or I'm like, I'm going to double side this listing.
Yeah,
like I'm gonna pick up the buyer for this listing at that. And like I've seen that happen a couple times. But I'm like, wow, did I like tell myself that? But I mean, like, and I mean, so right, as crazy as that sounds, like I like actually like I had that conversation with myself in my head, and then it happens.
Right. Yeah, you manifest it. It's, you know, your energy goes where you focus, right? Wherever you focus, where your energy is gonna flow. And again, it goes back to at the beginning of this talk where I heard you talking more about abundance and less about scarcity. And I think that's an energy shift that I think a lot of people underestimate.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm drawn towards like your positive energy. You're drawn towards my positive energy. And that like, that's what you're, you know, if you're projecting fear and retracting when you're interacting with people, you're not going to get anything. And right. So that's and that comes from confidence and just excitement, getting excited about things. And that's kind of how I, we've really changed that mindset.
Yeah. So, I also know you're a big prolific book reader. What book are you reading right now?
I actually just finished Ryan Serrant's new book. I finished it last night when I was getting back from a showing. So I don't know what I'm going to read next. I think I've got, what is that book? Actually, it's one that you you referred to me right off the shelf.
I can't hear you. What is it?
Oh, sorry, I grabbed it off my shelf. So it's Generating Business Referrals Without Asking.
Oh yeah, with Stacy Brown Randall.
Yep. That was the next book I had on my list.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, we just did a podcast with her. Good stuff. Well, hey, Christopher, I want to thank you for taking your time today. I know you got a lot of stuff going on. The other question I have for you is if people want to reach out to you just to kind of get more understanding of what you do, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, just my cell phone is the easiest way to get a hold of me, and it's 425-220-0621.
Okay, perfect. So again, Christopher, thanks so much. I really appreciate it. You know, keep doing what you're doing because I just get joy watching your growth and seeing where you are in your business and in your life. And I think that if any of our listeners today can have any takeaways today, I think one of the things you might've heard from Christopher was his professionalism, his mindset on abundance, and his mindset on this being a long game, not this instant gratification. And it's hard work. It's not easy, but the payoff is huge. And if you want to get more information from Christopher, please reach out to him. And we always end these like we always do by telling everybody to be awesome, help somebody, make it a great day. And Christopher, thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
All right. Talk to you later.
Well, we want to thank you for listening to our Windermere Coaching Minute. We hope you found this content helpful. If you did, please feel free to share it and give us a rating. And we'll always end our podcast by saying, be awesome and help somebody, and make it a great day.